Safety and security for your family is Guarantee RV Supercenter's top priority. Steve Tannen in, and Guarantee is available to help with any transportation needs you may have during this difficult time. If you need to downsize or want a clean, sanitized RV or just want to get out of town for a while, Guarantee RV can help. Handshakes are on hold, but trustworthy deals are still being done every day. Guarantee could buy your RV or vehicle outright, consign it, or trade it in. They'll even pay off your existing loan in a hassle-free transaction. Get country savings from home. Shop, click, and drive at Guarantee.com. It's easy. Visit Guarantee.com and select your RV. They'll bring it to you for inspection or test drive anywhere in Oregon. If you like it, they can sign papers at your residence or bring you a different vehicle to inspect. Visit Guarantee.com for pickup and delivery limitations. Guarantee's 365 employees are here to help. We're all in this together, and at Guarantee, everyone is family. Guarantee RV Supercenters in Junction City, hometown service for the Willamette Valley.
Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. And we welcome you to the 5 o'clock hour. It is a Friday. This is Sports Talk. The WNBA draft underway tonight, happening as we speak on ESPN. And we are now 9 deep. The first pick and second pick were, in fact, Oregon Ducks, as expected. I mean, we knew Sabrina was going to be number one since October, but the Satu, who just skyrocketed up the board to the surprise of no one, when you look at the player who entered as a freshman, that was really good, to the sophomore who ended the season excellent, to the junior who you just looked at her and said that nobody's got her skill set in this draft. I don't know if there have been many players who've ever had her skill set, because there's nothing she doesn't grade out, at least A-. And she went second after Sabrina went one to New York. She goes two to Dallas. Then, the great players we followed all season long, Lauren Cox of Baylor to Indiana at three, the Atlanta Dream, where Maite Cazorla was drafted second last year, Chinity Carter of Texas A&M, Bella Ilari out of Princeton to Dallas, joining Satu, and then Herbert Harrigan out of South Carolina goes to Minnesota. Her teammate, Tyasha Harris, goes to Dallas. So how about Dallas with three of the top seven picks? Then, as you're starting to, kind of think, with the trade that New York made, they're in the top 10. Are we going to see Ruthie and Sabrina remain teammates? No. The Chicago Sky ruined everything. Obviously not. I mean, if you're a WNBA.
Steve, I think you're right there. The Chicago Sky ruined everything. As a lifelong New York Liberty fan since about 4:15 today, I can say wholeheartedly that I despise the Chicago Sky now. I have a WNBA team. I now have a rival WNBA team. I dislike you, Chicago. You did a bad thing. I hope Ruthie does great. I hope you lose all of your games, and Ruthie wants to leave so that she can go to New York, and you have to trade her there, and you get bamboozled in that trade. I don't like your pizza. Your pizza is lasagna. Your city is cold and windy and not good, and I can't do this. It's not good, Steve.
So, and plus, I'm going to be watching that Jordan special this weekend, and it's going to be more Chicago tormenting New York. So maybe by the end of the weekend, I'll be on board. For now, I'm just happy for Ruthie.
Yeah, you know, what is this silver bean thing? You know, let's get over it. It's a weird-shaped piece of metal. It's not worth going to see. I'm against all of it. I'm against all of it, Steve. It'd be one thing if she went fifth, and you know, you just had your, it was ripped right out, or if she went seventh and she was teamed up with Satu, that'd have been great. But the pick before Peanut Butter and Jelly were going to be reunited, and they do this to us, that me, a lifelong New York Liberty fan, I can't handle it. I can't do it, Steve.
Very well put. And by the way, joining Sabrina is a pretty good player, Megan Walker from UConn. So, then Jocelyn Willoughby out of UVA went to Phoenix. Seattle, you're on the clock, and then New York. So, yeah, I'm sure there were a lot of people watching thinking you hadn't even heard the possibility of Hebert to the Sky. And it's like, well, don't do that.
The pick before, that's the part that hurts. You know, if it happens at 4, 5, 6, 7, that's totally fine. You know what? You don't have time to get your hopes up through the player interviews, and you're watching Ruthie's name scroll by as one of the best available. You're just like, you know what? She's gone. It's okay. Let's celebrate our Ducks, our big three. They're all in the WNBA. They're in three different cities so that you'll be able to watch them play against each other, and you'll be able to watch them on different nights, and you can have a favorite team, and you can just buy multiple gear. But then all of a sudden you get to 8, and you start to think, Chicago, you can't do this. It can't happen. You just need to wait. Take another player. Find another position that you think would work best with your team right now. Please, just for the sake of everyone, let Ruthie and Sabrina be teammates together. And they stripped it right out. They broke my heart. My heart's broken today.
I could tell. By the way, Megan Walker, not bad. 20-point-a-game scorer. 8 rebounds. Killer percentage. She hits 45% from downtown, and she's a good defensive player. So not a bad teammate to have, a UConn player. But you just can't help. But there's nothing wrong with being selfish, and it would have been awesome just to see them teamed up again. Not going to happen. Walker, while by design is a forward, she's also 6'1", so, you know, she's not a pivot player. I'm just trying to think about the whole pick and roll thing. So that's where we stand, and I guess the draft goes 3 rounds. So, you look past the end of the first, second, maybe into the third round. Will there be a fourth Duck selected in Mignon Moore? With her athleticism, her tenacity on defense, and the kind of season she had pushing the Ducks into national championship contention, winning both the regular season and the conference tournament title. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you'd like to jump on in, there are still 2 selections remaining in the first round. All right, let's get to how I've been kind of providing myself self-therapy. Yeah, say that 3 times fast. What I'm referring to is been doing this a lot during our pandemic programming. I'm going back exactly 1 year and seeing what exactly was happening on this date in 2019. It's April 17th, and, big focus, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball. It was a midweek. It was a Wednesday. In Beantown, the Celtics wrote a strong performance from Kyrie Irving to take a commanding lead in their series against Indiana. They took the first 2 in Boston. And in this one, they needed a fourth quarter rally on both ends to capture the 99-91 victory after the Pacers had gained the upper hand with a dominating third quarter. The Celts put the clamps down, outscored the Pacers 31-12 in the final 12 minutes, but it was still up for grabs. When Indy got the ball with 12 seconds to go, Wesley Matthews threw just one of the worst passes you'll ever see, inbounds, across the court, and out of bounds. Al Horford then, on the ensuing possession, found Jason Tatum on the move, led to a dunk and one, and it was a six-point lead, and then they turned it over again, and they made it eight at the foul line. In Milwaukee, the Greek Freak had a huge game. The Bucks went up 2-0 against Detroit. Giannis scored half of his 26 points in the third quarter as Milwaukee just blew it open. It was a one-point game at halftime. But in that fateful third, they dominated 35-17. And the Pistons were toast, barely able to cut into the advantage the last quarter, falling 120-99. In Houston, just a little too much James Harden. The Rockets dusted the Jazz by 20 after they had taken the first game by 32. Harden torched Utah for 32 points, 13 rebounds, 10 dimes, your proverbial playoff triple-double. In the NL, the chase for the Stanley Cup. We had a trio of games on Frozen Pond, and after three straight one-goal games, Nashville led 2-1 on Dallas. The Stars responded. They just exploded out of the gate. They lit the lamp four times in the first period en route to a 5-1 demolition, squared that opening set at 2-2. They scored on power play goals on their first two shots of the game. Ben Bishop turned aside 34 of 35 shots to lock down the victory. Down 2-1, Boston avoided a hole 3-1, outgunned the Leafs at Tirana 6-4. Charlie McAvoy opened the assault with an early PP goal. It's a power play goal. Toronto would even the game early in the second, but the Bees ripped off three straight, two by David Pastrnak and one from Zdeno Chara, whose backbreaker, Frederick Anderson, early in the third. And then it was 6-2, and Katie barred the door. Lastly, Colorado took command of their series with Calgary 3-1, down 2-1 with just over 2 minutes left in the third. Mikko Rantanen scored on a power play to force overtime. Then midway through the extra session, he beat Mike Smith for the gamer. If you want in, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, feel free to text us, 3210824. You can try us on Twitter, at 953, the score for the station, for the show at Sports Talk 953, for Nick back in the studio at Rick Nodges. Let's move to the baseball diamond, where Jake Arrieta of the Phillies threw into the ninth. Philly beat the Mets, pushed their record to 11-6. If you remember last year, filled with so much hope and optimism after they laid out, $1 billion for Bryce Harper and wound up being just a 500 team. Actually, another great offseason acquisition going back more than a year was JT Realmuto, who ended up being one of the best catchers in baseball. But, like I said, the season started well, and then they wound up just not even a factor in the whole thing. But in Kansas City, I was looking at some of the tape. Temper, temper, temper. The Chi Sox, Tim Anderson, hit a homer off of Brad Keller in the fourth inning, and he spiked his bat. Then he came up again. Keller, he plunked him, and the bench is emptied. And KC ended up getting the best of them with an extra innings 4-3 victory. While in L.A., a little bit of history, the Dodger power surge continued. They took down the Reds 3-2. AJ Pollock delivered the big blow, provided all the runs with a sixth inning, three run jack off Sonny Gray. The Big Fly tied a major league record for consecutive games hitting a home run at home, 32. Okay. Meanwhile, in the South Bronx, Yankee veteran Brett Gardner got out the mustard and all the fixins, to quote the late Dave Niehaus, and hit a grand salami off of Ryan Brazier in the seventh inning. The Yankees swept a little two-game set from the Boston Red Sox, 5-3. Also happened to be Gardner's 100th career dinger. The bomb wasted a solid six innings from starter Nathan Eovaldi, who allowed just one earned run. He got pulled after six. Brandon Workman started the seventh and got into a bunch of trouble and fast. A single, a walk. He struck out Gio Urshela. Then he walked Austin Romine, and we had the bases loaded. Alex Cora made the pitching change to Brazier, and Gardner greeted him with the game-breaking homer. Meanwhile, I was still thinking. In D.C., the Nats busted out the whooping sticks against the Giants, hit three homers in a 9-6 win to even their record at eights, as they were right in the midst and on the way to their first ever Super Bowl World Series appearance. They were, in April, it was like, we win one, we lose one, we win one, we lose one. Howie Kendrick and Juan Soto took Jeff Samardzija deep in the first inning. Kurt Suzuki added a two-run shot in the seventh. Matt Adams also hit a bomb. Elsewhere, Cole Hamels of the Cubbies threw blanks over seven innings as the North side has won at Florida 6-0. No walks, eight Ks, allowed just three hits, two singles, and a Brian Anderson double. The offense, courtesy of Daniel DeScalo with a three RBI game, and Javi Baez, just a rocket off Nick Anderson, a home run in the eighth inning. And that's the way it was on this date, April 17th, 2019. I was to say 2009. Maybe as this whole pandemic programming goes on, after a while, I'll go back to, you know, I'll pick a particular year and look at, you know, maybe where things were, maybe once we get into May, you know, deep in the playoffs, how things were looking in MLB and the Stanley Cup and the NBA playoffs. But for now, like I said, I found it kind of refreshing and a real nice distraction to just think of how things were just 1 year ago. All right. The WNBA draft. How about this? At KD Trey 5, Kevin Durant tweets out, "Welcome to Brooklyn," and he @s Sabrina. And you could see that coming from some of her teammates, as Ionescu is in fact the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft. And Ducks going 1-2 is the first time that happened since 2016, when UConn had the top three picks, starting with Breanna Stewart. And then you have to go back to 2002, when Sue Bird and Swin Cash were the top overall picks in the WNBA draft. And ESPN is showing some really awesome highlights with Sabrina shooting hoops with Eddie. Looks like about half their life ago in a gym, I'd assume somewhere in the Walnut Creek area.
On top of that history, Sabrina Ionescu, I'm saying, has set an unofficial world record. Certainly is going to be certified by 95.3 The Score in that matter. Her jersey has already sold out online.
Really?
Yeah. The Pac-12 Network has reported on, I think, a couple different outlets have written up, like, post-draft pick articles and stuff like that, added in amendments. Her jersey, out of stock. You cannot find yourselves a Sabrina Ionescu jersey. I guess there is an old, because the Liberty got new jerseys this week, so there's an old jersey with an old logo that you could, you know, customize to say with a 20 in Ionescu on it. But with the updated logo for the Liberty, the new jersey, the whatever number she ends up taking, sold out. Can't find it. Not available. Not there.
Wow.
Gone. Bye-bye.
And not surprising. That's amazing. And on Twitter, I saw that Sabrina confirmed on a teleconference that she has, in fact, signed with Nike. So all that talk, would she go follow in the footsteps of one of her favorite players and a friend, Steph Curry, with Under Armour, or was anybody else in the mix? We don't know. It doesn't matter. She is the next Nike Super Duper star, and I would imagine those sneakers, especially in this area, will not be staying all that long on the shelves. So what a day. What a day for the program. Just, Nick, you're actually able to watch it sometimes with the sound on, and just the hour and 20 minutes I've had it on. I mean, there's a lot of duck, 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 Oregon, 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 Sabrina, Ruthie, Satu interviews, and man, where this program has come under Coach Graves and this staff, and folks who were here when he arrived, like Lexi and some of the other great players, kind of laid the foundation, and then this crop that has just taken them to unprecedented heights over the last, well, it would have been 4 years, but 3 years plus a regular season and a conference tournament championship. What else does the future hold? Though the one thing I've admired about Coach Graves during all of this is you don't know what the future holds and what greatness, and if they could actually achieve that national title. But this group is going to be unique, special, and hold a sole place in the hearts of those of us who were so lucky to be able to not watch it, but to, you know, up close and personal, be in the interview room. I mean, we were fortunate enough to have each of them on the show multiple times. And just when it comes to gracious, classy, appreciative, on top of being great players, just you don't get any better. You that's what you aspire to. I'll leave it at that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline, if you'd like to jump on in. I also wanted to, before we break and get ready to talk Ducks Illustrated with Jerry Thompson, your friends here at 95.3 The Score want you and your family and your friends and everybody in your life to stay healthy during this pandemic. And we want to help our friends at our local restaurants as we've been getting the word out where you can still get great food picked up, delivered. Now a lot of places are also offering food and beverage. Go to our website, 953thescore.com, click on the Stay Healthy, Stay Local link, and you'll see a list of great food spots that are still open for business. And without the ability to draw patronage and, you know, the traditional method, you go in, you sit down, there's a waiter, there's a waitress, and you order your dinner, and, you know, you pay with your debit card or cash. Now it's they'll cook it up and have it ready for you, and some places will bring it to you, other places. And every place I've used has been really easy, really convenient, really safe, social distancing. As a matter of, you know, you call, get the order in, you go pick it up. There's a designated spot. You call from your cell when you're there. Hi, I'm outside. I'm in my maroon Hyundai. I ordered so-and-so. You've already paid. Hopefully a nice, generous tip. And just they'll drop it in your back seat, your front seat. They've got their masks on. They got their gloves on. And it's a great way to support the local businesses, which so often support the radio shows that you enjoy listening to. So, again, go to the website, 953thescore.com, and look for the Stay Healthy, Stay Local link. All right, break time. We'll come back. Nick will have an update. I wonder what the lead is going to be. And then we'll move on and talk some Ducks with Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated coming at you next. 95.3 The Score.
The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
My reaction initially is how Adam Silver continues to do an amazing job keeping his finger on the pulse and understanding what is best for growing the game and that bridge between collegiate basketball versus high school and the pros. There still will be players, Greeny, that choose to go to the NCAA.
That's ESPN's Jalen Rose on Adam Silver and his belief he's doing the right thing, and this is far from the end of college hoops, which is ridiculous, because when the one-and-done rule is finished, it's not like all the great high school players are NBA-ready. You know, this whole thing with the kid who announced he's going into this new pathway program. But either way, that's another interesting time we find ourselves in as we welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3, The Score, winding down our time during this the week and this most interesting week. So we're going to keep the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline locked down. You can check them out, still your diesel specialist since 1974, online, OregonFuelInjection.com. With that thought in mind, the new edition of Ducks Illustrated is out. And man, you guys usually do a great job with the photos. You've gone above and beyond here with some classic shots. Welcome in Jerry Thompson. JT, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, it's great. The sun's shining. It's like summer.
Yeah, well, not quite
except
a summer like many.
After a few world events happening.
Yeah, aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln, what'd you think of the play? But anyway.
Oh, boy, that's pretty close. That happened on April 5th or 14th, you know. That was
That's right. Well done there. Well done. So this is a fantastic-looking kind of a commemorative issue. Let the folks know where they can get it for openers.
Well, the press had some problems, so people won't be getting it until tomorrow and Sunday at your Dairy Mart. Excuse me, at your... Dairy Marts. Buy Marts will be on Monday. Duck stores, those that are open, will be on Monday also.
All righty.
Free of charge.
So you've got, I'll just say, you've got a four-part series on Oregon's four rock star athletes. How would you explain to the people what you've put together?
Well, initially it was going to be one edition having the four stars, but with the shutdown of sports and four issues left in our U of O season that we usually do, I was going to feature one of the four rock stars every issue for the next, and we have three more after this. I define rock star not as the greatest athlete at Oregon. And if you had to debate that, it would probably be Ashton Eaton, a decathlon Olympic winner, gold medal winner. But by rock stars, I'm talking about those who, the definition really in the dictionary, a rock star is a person treated as a celebrity, especially get an inspiring, fanatical admiration. And so I selected four. I listened to some people and made my final decision. I'm very happy with it. One in track, two in basketball, and one in football for the Ducks.
And man alive, some of the archives, the pictures of Prefontaine, man, what kind of, I mean, I know over the years, especially as somebody who's been as close to all the programs, but man, some of these pictures are unbelievable. What kind of an effort was that to secure them? Because I'm telling you, you could get lost looking at all of them. I mean, his running for Marshfield and on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Bowerman. I mean, what a great undertaking.
Well, yeah, it took a long time, and it's half the magazine is on Steve Prefontaine, but he is the number one, and I don't think anybody will dispute that as far as rock star. It was a great undertaking, but most of the thanks goes to Tom Jordan, the director of the Prefontaine Classic, who had the rights to give me the pre-classic poster photos to use. Otherwise, to get the photos without the Prefontaine Classic in it would have been more expensive than I'd ever want to be able to pay. And then some of the others come from the U of O media book, and then some others, various sources. But I was happy. I mean, getting the Munich Olympics in 72 photos would have been, you know, more than my house or something. No, not really. But, you know, it's been very expensive. I just couldn't have afforded that. But there's enough in there. I'm glad that you appreciate them, and I'm happy with how it all came out.
Yeah, we had a discussion on the show a couple weeks ago about who the ultimate rock star was. See if this makes sense. As magnificent as the other ones are, and, you know, Sabrina, what she meant, her own coach calls her a rock star, they're all relatively recent. What always strikes me about guys from my generation, your generation, who've been here the whole time, is that when they talk about Ronnie Lee or Steve Prefontaine, and if you didn't know better, you'd think they played like 3 years ago, because they still generate the passion among the fan base now that they did then. That's really what makes them unique.
Yes, it is. And I mean, Pre is bigger than life because he was an international rock star, just not the United States or Oregon. But, yes, Ronnie Lee, I've got a picture of him with Bill Walton. He could take him so easily now. He had a little tough time taking him when he was at UCLA back when Walton's in good shape. But Ronnie Lee looks like he could still play. And did you know that he was, kind of a tease for the next issue, because Ronnie Lee's going to be in the next issue, but his high school coach in Massachusetts, do you have any idea who it was?
I do not. I'm kind of stoked to find out.
Fill in, I'll say the first name, Raleigh.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I know he was a Northeast guy. There was a great tradition of those coaches who came along in the 80s, Patino, Calhoun, Massimino, who all got their start in New England, some of them at, like, Northeastern University and some at the high school level. So, I know, I would not have gotten that, but that's a great tidbit. Nice.
Raleigh Massimino, you can pronounce it. I think they were 51-0 in 3 years that Ronnie Lee was in high school. I wanted to say something about Prefontaine if we're not through with him, hopefully. But there's about four things that are pretty distinctive. First, the new tower at Hayward Field, and on the cover of the magazine, Steve Prefontaine gets the whole south side of that tower. The north side has Ashton Eaton, Raven Rogers, and Otis Davis, who was a 400-meter guy in the Olympics in 1960, a gold medal winner. But that's just a tribute to Prefontaine. The other thing is the only statue Nike has ever made, according to Phil Knight, was of Prefontaine. It may have changed since the Fire on the Track documentary, but as far as I know. And then two other things, Bill Dellinger, who's still with us, who was his main training coach, the fact that he, in 4 years, never missed a workout is absolutely incredible. And in the magazine, I delineate, detail the workouts, and it just makes you tired even thinking about it. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I won't have time to talk about it, but it's just incredible. And then there's a lot of quotes in the magazine about Prefontaine, some from him,
a lot from
people like even Dana Carvey, celebrities, but Oregon people. The one I love the most is Mack Wilkins. He said, the most beautiful, sexiest girl on campus would come up and ask him if she could have a date with him, and he would say, I have to check my schedule.
Yeah, the one that you said when he was called the Muhammad Ali of track. I mean, that's a pretty good compliment as well, especially when you consider this was Ali after he returned to boxing at his very peak when he was the champ, you know, after beating Frazier and Foreman. So that's not so bad.
Right. a little personal, though, I was in the same class at Oregon and would see him at the Walton Complex breakfast area. I was just kind of in awe of him. And, you know, you're not going to come up and say hi. It was nice to follow his career, having come in and being there. And I learned a lot by doing this research with the Tom Jordan Fire on the Track documentary. And Kenny Moore's book really helped a lot. It was about Bowerman, but they had a lot about Prefontaine. So I almost want to shout out to some of those people that helped me. But I learned a lot, even though I was, you know, there at the time, it's still some things I had no idea about.
Oh, yeah, behind the scenes, and plus you never know how it's impacting other people, and a lot of insight, and like you said, some of these photographs are just timeless and absolutely fantastic. We're talking with Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated. Let's get to 2020. When the football season ended, one of my questions was, okay, so is Tyler Shuck the guy? And if not, are one of these young guys going to have to rise up and beat him out? And then, you know, a couple weeks ago, the announcement came down that Anthony Brown out of Boston College was going to come here as a grad transfer. And as a rule, somebody's not going to uproot their life from coast to coast without a chance to play. What was your read on that decision?
Well, I think it's a great decision with Joe Moorhead, the new offensive coordinator. And, I mean, Tyler Shuck has had very few plays, and he's going to be a redshirt sophomore, but in two seasons, he's very few snaps. He was impressive against USC in mop-up time. But behind him are a redshirt freshman, Hugh Millen, two true freshmen in Butterfield and Ashford, Robbie Ashford. So, you know, the cupboards were not, they were full, but they hadn't been used very often. So I think it's a great move. I'm looking at the highlights of Anthony Brown at Boston College, and boy, he reminds me of Dennis Dixon or Darren Thomas. And those guys are great here in Oregon. I'd be surprised if Anthony Brown comes in and starts before Tyler Shuck. Both Cristobal has named him the starter, but you need another guy in there. I mean, especially now that they're going to run the ball more, according to Coach Moorhead, maybe 8 to 10 times with the quarterback. I think it's going to be extremely exciting, and I hope they just use them not as a alternating, but, you know, they get that they're not just on the bench until the guy goes down or something. And a lot of versatility there at quarterback now.
All right, let's talk about what started an hour and 40 minutes ago, this ultimate celebration of the women's program. I mean, for all those years, they had great players. First, there wasn't a WNBA, and then they had some second-round picks. And all of a sudden, Sabrina Satu and Ruthie Hebert go 1-2-8. I mean, as someone who has followed this program for a long time, could you ever in your wildest dreams?
No, and I was thinking, perspective-wise, I went to one of the first practices when that group came in. Corsatu came in the next year, but first of all, I hadn't really researched and saw many pictures of photos of Sabrina, and there's actually, I thought this other player looked better than her in that first practice, and so I wasn't that impressed with Sabrina in practice, the first one, because it, and a lot of it was drills, and it wasn't the team game that she's so good at, you know. And then Ruthie, well, actually, Coach Graves is kind of raving about Lydia Giomi at that point, and who's 6'6", and not that he's putting down Ruthie, but yeah, in my wildest dreams, I would just, from that humble beginning of just watching one of the first practices to the public, they've come a long way, and boy, Satu really hit the stars aligned for her with her boyfriend, Jalen Jux, playing for the Cowboys in Dallas, and her being picked by Dallas, and I guess there's been no trade rumor. There was a trade rumor before I left to deliver some more magazines, but I guess no trade with Chicago and New York for Ruthie, right?
No. A lot of people thought that New York had moved up into the top 10 to take her, and then like my producer Nick said, they ruined everything, and now we consider Chicago the rival.
Right. Well, Holly was... Holly on TV was still rumoring that something might happen with that, but anyway.
Maybe it could be. I have ESPN on. I'm checking it out. All right, so one last shout out here. Because of some issues and these odd times we live in, the new edition of Ducks Illustrated, first of all, four-part series, very Prefontaine-centric, but with some other great stuff. Let folks know when and where they can get it.
This weekend at the Dairy Marts, and then the first of the week at Buy Marts and your duck stores. And you have time for a real quick trivia question.
Another Go ahead. Lay it on me.
Who was the most famous Walnut Creek duck? It was a football player. Sabrina's from Walnut Creek, California.
Was it Renfro? No.
You're getting close. Norm Van Brocklin.
I should have gone back another 12 years or so.
Another 12 years, you got it.
You know, for those of us who've been around forever, every time I hear Walnut Creek, all I think of is the, you know, the home of the Pac-10, then Pac-12, until Chuckles the Clown moved them into San Francisco. All right. Hey, good stuff, right. JT. Be well.
Thank you. Be safe.
And we'll catch up soon.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right.
284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, Rolly Massimino. Ronnie Lee's coach in high school in Massachusetts? Yowza yikes. I would never have gotten that. He got his start before he took over at Villanova. Remember, he started at Nova back in 1973, coached there 20 seasons. And then, you know, I kind of forgot that he had a stint post-Tark in Vegas. And then you know, obviously forever known as the coach of the 85 Nova team. So it looks like he started in 1963. He was involved with Army Cadets basketball. And so the career, a high school career of Ronnie Lee had to be early 70s. So he was the head coach at Lexington High School in Massachusetts, winning state titles in 71 and 72. Nice. Good tidbit. All right, folks, we'll take our final break of the what a week I'm having, and we'll be back to wrap up a Friday on 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here, back in the KUJZ studios at the Coors Light Prospered Sports Desk. For the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day, Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. All of the tweets I'm going to read today are the winners of tweet of the day because I retweeted so many of them between like 4 and 5:30 that I just couldn't keep up, and I'm certainly not going to pick one. Basically, a recap of what happened during the WNBA draft from at the Stein line, Mark Stein. Alyssa Altobelli, Gianna Bryant, and Peyton Chester were all just announced as honorary WNBA draft picks, all out of Orange County, California, who all died in the helicopter crash that also took the life of Kobe Bryant back in January. Jeez, that feels like it was 25 years ago. At Oregon Women's Basketball with some great videos. At Go Ducks with some great videos of Ruthie Satu and Sabrina with just fantastic editing from the creative team with them. At Shea Serrano had a lot of tweets today. Waiting for the Liberty to finally make the pick, he tweeted, "This really should have gone like, and the New York Liberty are on the Liberty with Sabrina! We picked Sabrina! We don't even need to be on the club. We got her! We got Sabrina!" There's the Duck Store is selling New York Liberty jerseys. Those are probably sold out. Sabrina's jersey has been sold out. At Kareth Burke took a screenshot of an Instagram post from the Warriors and then put it on Twitter and tweeted, "Sweet of the Warriors to post this pic of Sabrina and a fan." It's a picture of Sabrina and Steph Curry. Very, very good stuff there. Oh, geez. Here's another great one from Shea Serrano. "The Ducks really went 1-2 in the draft this year. That means they win the tournament by default. Congrats, Oregon, on the national championship. Raise the banner." Steve, I don't see a fault there. That makes sense, right?
You're all insane.
Thank you. what else we got? "Chicago broke our hearts by taking Ruthie right before the New York Liberty could have united Ruthie and Sabrina together, but that didn't happen, but we're still super glad that Ruthie was picked." Sabrina's jerseys are sold out. There's so many things to choose from and so much crazy stuff that happened. what a wild day. What an incredible day for Oregon. Oregon women's basketball, the University of Oregon, Eugene, Germany, Alaska, Walnut Creek, everybody that was picked in this WNBA draft. It's all incredible. It's so nice to have a live sporting event that you didn't know what was going to happen have on the screen where you then you can talk about it. It's all fantastic stuff. So thanks to Twitter today for the refreshing tweet of the day. Find all of that and more on our Instagram page at 953thescore. Find us on Twitter at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers, and Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk. Just do it.
J-D-I. There was another tweet that went out that I just retweeted from the Dallas Mavericks site over the drafting of Satu Sabolli at 2 from one of their youngest players, Maxi Kleba, who is from Würzburg, Germany, who's now in his third year with the Mavs. And he's been kind of a semi-starter, semi-bench guy. And, of course, you know, another countryman, a fellow countryman player, the greatest Mav of all, Dirk Nowitzki. And now Satu, just what a kind of, if you're big on irony and the world being small and things falling into place, but he tweets out, you know, welcome to town, Dallas strong, gives a shout out at Dallas Wings. And, you know, the bottom line is today we actually got to target an event. It wasn't a competition as far as having games, but it was on. There was a start time. There was a finish time. It was a draft. It'll impact the outcomes in the future. And it almost seemed like there was a sense of normalcy in the world of sports today.
Not only that, Steve, the virtual draft television product as well went off pretty much without a hitch.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that happened was there was apparently a really long delay when Ruthie Hebert's name was announced, and that might just be because I can't think of two places farther away on the planet from one another than Bristol, Connecticut and Anchorage, Alaska.
So that's taking social distancing to a new level. That's got to be 5,000 million miles or something like that.
I think it's technically it's the distance of two Earth diameters just kind of like added on to each other. They're literally worlds apart. But like if ESPN probably was using some of this technology and what they're going to do for the NFL draft as a dry run for their or for the WNBA draft for the
sure.
NFL draft, it went off really well. So it's up to the teams, which if the WNBA is going to be able to do this with their product, everybody's in the same boat here. The WNBA pulled it off. The TV product was great. The NFL thing should go off without a hitch, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and remember with the analysis, it was Lobo, it was Sue Bird, and the studio host. I mean, with the NFL draft, there's going to be so many more faces that you're going to be able to cut to. I don't know exactly who's going to be in studio, but they have so many more different sets. All right. Thanks for hanging, everybody. It's been another week. We made it through. And be safe, be well, practice proper social distancing, and we look forward to joining you once again on Monday. It was quite a Friday, and I think for those of us who follow sports and love sports, kind of needed this one. So have a good one, everybody. Thanks for hanging for Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.
He goes!